I'm Andrea, and this is the Joplin and Andrea podcast.
Welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast show. Thank you for joining us today, where we discuss all things faith, family, and fun. Welcome to episode 2. Today, we're on the heels of Easter, and we are deep into this coronavirus pandemic. I think we're coming up on nearly a month of being quarantined to some degree, and we're going to touch base a little bit today on staying healthy. We talked about staying positive last week. I want to talk about staying healthy in times of crisis. We're going to be taking another question from one of our listeners and talking about the need for Mexican food. Excited about today's podcast. Andrea, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Hanging in there.
Good. So let's talk a little bit about Easter. All right. We had Easter service for you and I. It was by far the most odd Easter that we have had in a very long time. I'm sure our listeners can say the same thing for them. What was your thoughts this year on Easter?
Easter was odd, but we made the best of it. I really missed going to see my grandma and my family that we see occasionally. And my grandma always makes the best homemade noodles. And so we didn't get that, but we tried to be creative this year. And so we had kebabs on the grill. And
yes, we did.
The kids had a great time putting those kebabs together. And it was great. The food tasted good and it worked as a substitute. So
the kebabs were good, but I missed your grandma's noodles too. They're the old school kind where they hand roll them and flatten them out and then cut them with a knife and cook them. They are so good.
Yep, takes her days to prepare, but they're amazing.
All right, so you told our listeners last week to take their Easter photos on Easter, but this year, so far, we didn't get ours.
I knew you were going to bring that up. To be fair, I did take Easter photos. We just don't have a family photo. Michaela worked Easter afternoon, and when she got home, nobody was in the mood to take a Easter photo, and it was pretty chilly out. So we did not end up getting a evening Easter photo of the family, but got random candids of other things.
So like, let me understand you right. You're telling me that just like taking a picture on Easter counts as an Easter photo, like just a selfie of some sort or anything?
Absolutely. I have some pictures of the kids with like okay. bunny ears on. I got an epic picture of the grill with our kebabs, and those are memories. So
I did not know those classified as Easter photos. So my guess is that most of our listeners got their Easter photos in too.
I bet they did. See, all you have to do is just get the camera out.
When it gets nicer outside. One of the main reasons, there were two reasons we weren't able to take our family Easter photo. Number one, our oldest daughter was called into work all day. She was in from like 11 until 7 or something. They called her in for an 8-hour day. And she works at Doc Green's. So getting her dressed up for Easter photos before going into work wasn't going to be a possibility. And then afterwards, it wasn't really all that sunny on Easter. When you think about Easter photos outside, you think about it being nice and green and sunny. And it was cold. It ended up getting cold on us.
It was cold. It was very cold.
So we will get our family spring picture around Easter-ish sometime soon. How's that, babe?
No, that works.
That work? Okay. All right, so let's move our conversation a little bit towards staying healthy in times of crisis, with kind of an emphasis on spiritually, emotionally staying healthy. Andrea, you had some thoughts on prayer, and so let's just start with that. What do you want to share with our listeners today about prayer?
I've had prayer in my heart a whole lot lately. I've looked at a lot of my own situations as well as just viewing things that God's doing in others' lives. And there's so many things going on right now with just everybody being stuck at home. Everything's different. There's people who have lost their jobs. There's people who are now working from home. Kids are trying to do school at home. Some of you are facing maybe kids that are sick or not feeling well. And I just think the importance of prayer is just so important right now, because God hears our prayers and we can be specific with them. And often we look to prayer as the last result instead of the first. And I've tried in my life to just really put some things in motion with prayer first right off the bat. And I've seen God answer my specific prayers. And I just love it when he does that, because he's so personal and it helps us to be reminded that he is there and he is listening. And, you know, sometimes he doesn't answer them right off the bat. And sometimes we don't know how he answers them, and he answers them differently. But I can guarantee you this, that if we put prayer first, we are going to see results in some of those things that we're praying about. Just God showing his faithfulness, even through all this craziness and chaoticness of times we're in. And so I just want to encourage our listeners to be prayerful about your life, about everything that's going on, about those around you.
I've found that prayer also helps mitigate anxiety. Maybe I would say it this way: prayer often produces patience. So when we talk about God answering prayers, he does. And prayer is it's probably the most powerful tool that we have as sons and daughters of God is prayer, because prayer changes things. But as you already said, sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. But what I have found is often what does happen immediately, when we take these matters that are vexing our soul, when we take these matters to God, that immediately there's a sense of patience. And just being with God, talking to God about it, knowing that you've prayed about it, it tends to give you this ability to rest and let it all work itself out. Let God answer in God's time. And so even though you might not get the answer right away, you might not see the changes right away, you will find that very often, right away, you do begin to experience a sense of peace and patience.
Yes.
In the midst of it all. I think also one of the keys to staying healthy is, spiritually healthy in times of crisis is not just prayer, but adding to prayer some regular Bible study. Now, obviously, as a pastor, I believe this, I live it, I've been preaching it for years, that, we shouldn't just pray and we shouldn't just read during times of crisis. And I'm not advocating that. However, what I am trying to say is that during times of crisis, I think it's important that we have this extra focus on prayer and reading the Word. Because it's during times of crisis that our minds are kind of bombarded with negativity, all the what ifs, how long is this going to last? And so we need to counteract that with an extra dosage, extra concentrated time of prayer and study. And I think it's important to be studying the scriptures. And one of the things that I really want to challenge our listeners to do is not just read, but read and obey. One of the things through the years, just in this age of social media, that is kind of humorous to me is the number of people who will post scripture, maybe a picture with scripture over the top of it, maybe something spiritual, something religious. But then when you read the rest of what they have to say, or maybe they post 1 hour later, or you talk to them, you run into them at the grocery store or something, and you find they're not really believing and obeying all these, quick posts of passages of scripture. And I share that because if you are part of the Christian community, if you are somebody that, a lot of your social media contacts are Christians, you're going to be prone to reading scripture real fast and just siphoning through it. Like it's just another post, another post, another post, another post. And you'll find you end up doing the same thing just for the sake of making a post. And we got all these scriptures and spiritual thoughts going out without any real thought and meditation into the message and the text, the scriptures. And so I want to challenge our readers to take some time to meditate, slow your mind down, and meditate on the scriptures. And you will find that when you take that additional step, you're not just reading to get your reading over with, but you take the additional step of meditating on the meaning of the passage, how it applies to you. Now you're praying, now you're studying, and you're meditating on the word, and you will find that you are in a much healthier place spiritually, emotionally. And then finally, I'm going to throw this one back at Andrea. These are very important aspects of being emotionally and spiritually healthy: prayer and the study of the word. But all the prayer in the world, all the studying in the world, does not stop your flesh from thinking negative thoughts. And this is why the Apostle Paul told us that we have to take our thoughts captive. And so I want you to speak to a little bit to that. Even after all of the reading and all of the praying, there is still the process of getting negative thoughts out of our mind. And when they pop up, taking them captive and not choosing to think on them all day. So what advice would you have? You know, what are some of the things you've done to take your thoughts captive?
I think you mentioned this word in there, and I just kept thinking this word as you were sharing that: apply. We have to apply it. And I think the biggest thing is applying those things we're reading as, and the things that we know as those thoughts come up. And when something negative comes up or we're feeling down or discouraged, just getting our minds refocused back on the good things, back on the positive things, because we can always find positive. We can always find good. We just have to choose to think on those things. And often if we get ourselves trapped up in that pattern, it's real easy to stay on that pattern. So it's important to make sure that when things come up that are negative, and we live in a world where negative things happen and where things are out of our control, but even when they are out of our control, quickly finding something positive to think on, or finding some good things, finding those scriptures that we can meditate on to get our mind off of the negativity or the things that are bringing us down.
And I want to speak to what I would call the final two pieces of staying healthy, and both of them relate to counseling. First, the counsel of a friend. And I'm going to talk about finding a good, solid friend that you can just unload on, if you will, and hopefully receive good counsel. Before I do that, I want to say that I think it's important that we don't throw out every, you know, share every negative thought we have. We all know that one friend that the second they show up, the second that you see them, it's always negative, 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 negative. And here's what's wrong with, you know, the world. Here's what's wrong with the government. Here's what's wrong with work. Here's what's wrong with, you know, the person that checked me out at the counter. We don't want to be that person. And to be quite honest, when you have a friend like that, it's a little draining. And so I don't want our listeners to think that when I talk about going for counsel in the place of negativity and sharing your struggles, that I necessarily mean every single negative thought you have. That said, when you've prayed, sincerely prayed, spent time with God, when you've studied and you've worked to meditate on the scriptures, when you've worked to take your own thoughts captive and you find that on a certain issue, you are still really struggling, you are still dealing with anxiety or fear or panic or whatever, I think it's really important that our listeners each have a friend, somebody that they can share their struggles with, that can encourage them and challenge them. And whoever this person or maybe two or three people might be, there are two things that need to mark this person in your life. Number one, they need to be firm, because you're going to find a lot of times your negative thinking is garbage. And you need somebody that's got enough backbone to say, listen, this is garbage. You are just wrong. And if you don't have a friend like that in your life, you need one. If all your friends agree with everything you always say and they agree with every negative thought you always have, you need some better friends, because everything you think isn't true. Everything you feel isn't right. And so you need somebody that's firm, that's able to really set you straight when needed, but that same person also needs to be positive. They need to be somebody that knows how to see the good in every situation. Someone that really believes with all of their heart that God does work everything out for our good, that somehow in the midst of the storm, above it all is God sitting on his throne. You need someone that has that type of mindset encouraging you and counseling you. And, I know in my own life there have been a lot of times that I have needed that friend in my life. For me, I've got a handful of them. One of them comes to mind is Jason Bruns. Some of you that are podcast listeners might know Jason from the Pastor Bites podcast. And Jason's also a counselor. He's not only a pastor, but he is a therapist. And Jason has been a friend of mine. He has worked in the capacity of just being a friend, the capacity of being a counselor, therapist, the capacity of being a pastoral advisor. There are times that I just need to call, talk with him. I've did my praying. I've did my reading. I've tried to take my thoughts captive, but something is still off. And there are times that I've just been able to call and him help really settle my spirit, help me to see things from a certain direction that maybe I wasn't seeing them. And I've got two or three friends like that in my life that have been really helpful. And I hope that our listeners, if you don't have one, that you pray that God will lead you to the right person.
Yes, I'd have to agree that those are the most important people to have in life because they're the ones that help keep us on track. And I too have some ladies that I call out to from time to time, or sometimes even just simply send a text message to that just said, "Hey, I'm really struggling, feeling anxious right now and could use some prayers." And I think just even sometimes simply knowing people are praying for you or they're there start to make a big difference in your situation.
And that final step, I mentioned that there were, I want to talk about two forms of counseling. One is the counseling of a friend, someone that's close to you. And I think that I also want to mention true clinical counseling. There's a certain stigma, especially for guys. When you look at the statistics of men who reach out for clinical counseling versus women, it's staggering. And a lot of us men are stubborn. We don't think anybody can help us. But I'm here to tell you that I have needed clinical counseling at many different points in my life. It's been incredibly helpful for me. Here in the future, I'm sure we'll have several segments when we talk about some of the depression that I've dealt with in the past, overcoming that, and the role. It's not a magic bullet. I think there's a lot of different things that go into emotional health, but the role that clinical counseling can play in helping us be healthy is a very important role that needs to be considered. And so I want to encourage our listeners to not shut off that avenue of help when you find yourself in need of emotional and spiritual help. So all right, well, that is all the time we have for the first half of our podcast. Do not go anywhere, and we will be right back.
On the go, but still want to jam to your favorite local station? Download the TuneIn app and search Alive 105 KDKQ. With the TuneIn app, you can rock out on those road trips across the country or on your walk around the park with Fido. So grab a leash, your phone, and listen to Alive 105, music that's good for you, on TuneIn.
Hello, and welcome back to the second half of our podcast. This is a time in the show where we answer questions that listeners have sent in. Today's question comes from Wayne. Do you believe Saul lost his salvation or he never had it? It seems odd to me to be chosen of God and on fire for God as Saul was at the start of his reign and not be saved. In John 10, 27 through 29, Jesus said, "Who the Father has given to me, no man can take out of my hand." I am just curious because this does not seem like he could have been saved at the end. Joplin, what do you have to say about this question?
Well, did Saul lose his salvation? Depending on how I answer this question, we're going to pick up a bunch of followers or lose a bunch of followers. Listen, this is a hard question. And the first thing I want to point out about it is that we're not going to be able to arrive at the answer in a few minute response on a podcast. This is a big question, the question of eternal security. Can a man lose his salvation? And in fact, there are entire denominations that have been built upon how people interpret this portion of Scripture, or this topic of Scripture. That said, the question is, do you believe? And so I'm going to answer that. This is going to drive some of our listeners crazy, but I don't know. And before you tune me out, I will tell you what I do know, and what is really important on this question is what I do know. And well, let me start with what I don't know. I don't know if Saul lost his salvation. I don't know if he was saved and then turned from the Lord. I think this is a really difficult question to answer. And what I have found is that people who do answer it with some great degree of certainty, they do so based upon they've already determined what they believe about this issue. And so they see Scripture through one lens. And whatever lens they look through, that's how they answer the question without any thought, without any real thinking about it, without any real meditating on it. They're in this camp of believers, and here's how we answer the question. And I just don't come at it from that way. I acknowledge this is a really difficult question. Can a person who is saved turn from God? First of all, there are a ton of warnings in the New Testament, the era of grace, from the apostles who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, spent 3 years with Jesus, experienced the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then we read their writings and we see this constant theme to the brethren, to the church, to believers: beware lest any of you have an evil, unbelieving heart. Be warned not to turn away from the living God. I think it's difficult to argue that God would warn us repeatedly about something that was not even a possibility. That said, I also see the other side of this, that when someone is truly born again, and a little different scenario with Saul, because we didn't have the born again experience in the Old Testament, but nonetheless, when somebody is born again and the Holy Spirit lives in them, reproving them of sin, I find it difficult to fully comprehend how somebody in that state could truly deny the Lord, turn from Him, and never follow Him again. I can't understand it. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been tempted just like everybody else in this world, and the Holy Spirit is there convicting me of sin. I could not imagine making the conscious decision that I was going to turn away. And I've thought about what could make me do that. I can't think of anything. And I've thought about the worst. I've thought about going through persecution. I've thought about things happening to my family. I've thought about the whole world falling apart, the church falling apart. And it's like, I just don't see how I could personally turn from God. I don't know how it would be possible. And so it's a difficult topic, but here's what I do know. I do know this, that the Bible warns us about not finishing the right way. We see Saul starting right, but finishing wrong. We see the same thing with a host of other people in the Scriptures, and they are always warnings. The question of, was Saul, you know, saved when he died? I don't know, but I do know this. The Bible never speaks of him as a hero of the faith. And so when we think of Saul, what is attached to Saul is his mad downfall from following the Lord to living his own life and taking matters into his own hand, and in the end, dying on his own sword. The lesson, and I told you I'd tell you what I do know, the lesson is this: don't be Saul. And if you are Saul, if you started out right, but you're living wrong, there is not anywhere in all of Scripture that should lead you to believe you should be at peace with God. Scriptures clearly teach us that we must endure until the end. And we can play word games all day long about, well, if you endure, you must have been saved. If you didn't, you must not have been. It doesn't matter. What Scripture is clear about is that you must endure till the end. And so if a person is not serving God, not being obedient to God, not being faithful to God, I don't care what state that person might have been in 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 2 months ago for that matter, we should be concerned. If you are a listener and you're not following God, you should be concerned about your state with God. That's the one thing I do know for a fact. And when we talk about heaven and hell and we talk about eternity, this is not the type of thing to toy around with. This is not the type of thing to play games with. Your soul is eternal, and you need to know that you know that you know that you're saved. And if you're not serving God, you're not following God, you're not obeying God, you should have no confidence, according to the Scriptures, that you are ready to meet your Maker. You need to repent, you need to turn to Jesus, and you need to follow Him. And so that is what I do know. Wayne, thank you for that question. Great question, and I'm going to leave it at there for today. So what are we doing next?
Very good, Wayne. We hope that helps with your question. Next, we are talking about Mexican food.
Okay, Mexican food, huh?
Mexican food, yes. Mexican food's on the agenda today because I am missing Mexican food. It is probably our family's favorite thing to go out and eat is Mexican food. Shout out to Las Cocos. And we are not able to do that right now. So we just thought we would bring up Mexican food today because I'm missing it.
Yeah, most of the Mexican food restaurants, like the real ones, are shut down. A lot of your other, you know, fast food places, you can order food and go pick it up. But, you know, when you're talking about your favorite fast food places, sit-down places, they're just shut down. At least ours are.
Yeah, you can't even get to go. So my at-home tacos just aren't really cutting it. I need some Mexican food. So missing Mexican food and missing people. I'm missing people. What about you?
Am I supposed to say that I'm missing people? Like if I'm not?
No. I had a feeling you wouldn't say missing people. I'm a social one, so I miss people.
Oh my goodness, I just lied on air. I kind of am. I will be.
He's missing
people. I'm so conflicted right now. We got to rewind and not play this segment. This is terrible. I'm missing some people, yes. Listen, okay. What? I'm in a jam here. I need some help. Help me out.
Oh, he just admitted it. He's missing some people.
Yes, yep, I am.
Lots of time in the house. So we're missing people. We're missing our church family and services.
Yes, I miss you all, church fam.
Yeah.
Kind
but
of.
What else are we missing? We've went to Dairy Queen several times and got ice cream to go. And so we've got to keep our ice cream fix up, or I have. I like ice cream. Our kids like ice cream. And missing just being able to kind of come and go as we want to. I'm missing shopping. I kind of like to go to Kohl's or Target or occasionally the mall, and that's just not an option right now. So I'm missing shopping. I have did a little online shopping to suffice that, that need. But it's just not the same. So,
yeah. You know, honestly, so far,
it's only been a shopping?
Month. I'm not. Okay. Listen, it's only been a month. I have really enjoyed the stay-at-home order. It's been helpful for me to stay at home and get some things done around the house that I've needed done. And, you know, as a pastor, you're always prioritizing emergencies above non-emergencies. And so a lot of times, once the church hits a certain place, there's just always something that needs done that seems more important than mowing your yard or fixing up the home. And so for years, a lot of this stuff's been pushed off. And for me, I feel like this thing can't last long enough. And so I have this great rush to get everything done that I can. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a good time with it. And when you talk about shopping, I am the Amazon master.
You are the Amazon master.
I am the Amazon master.
He spends more money
master.
On Amazon than I do at the mall.
Listen, this is true, but I buy needful things that improve the quality of our life at home. And
I'm buying needful things as well.
Yes, yes. So I like shopping on Amazon. I don't have to go out. I don't have to, you know, talk to a bunch of people and figure out. I just see what I want, hit click, and it's done. And it just shows up at my door. And I think Amazon was created just for me.
It probably was. Well, in all seriousness, we have enjoyed this time that God's given us here at home. And we have been able to be very productive. And it's been good. So that's all we have for you today. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great weekend.